That's it. The final whistle is gone. It's finished here at Anfield. Liverpool 9, Crystal Palace 0. Steve Coppell's...
Oh, we don't talk about that game. That was the dark days. It was an experience, that's for sure. Can't even explain to you for the few days after that how I felt. I felt like I was creeping out of my house. Everyone was laughing at you and the papers were mocking you. There was cartoons in the papers and... Yeah, so it was a difficult time for everyone at the club.
I remember at one point during the game, I think we were 7-0 down, and I turned around shouting, "There's no way it goes to double figures." And I and then I just turned to one of the Liverpool players and said, "I never in my life thought I would say those words on a football pitch." They taught us such a lesson. I think people have dubbed that moment now as bottoming out.
First of all, it was humiliating. But having said that, by the way, if you looked at the Liverpool team that night, it was phenomenal. It was a wake-up call for us and what it made us do. And in particular, Steve Coppell, who was the manager, to say, look, we've got to make changes. From that night, we signed Nigel Martin and we got Andy Thorne in from Wimbledon. So whilst it was a humiliating night, it was also a turning point in how we were going to then finish the end of the season.
Manager went out and spent money. I think Gary O'Reilly used the phrase, the team was born then. I think from that 9-0 defeat, we really gelled and glued and stuck together and worked really hard to show everybody in the league, I think, and the fans as well, that we were better.
You couldn't get any lower, in which case you were going to go out on a whimper, or you could manifest something and what doesn't break you, etc., etc. So, and I think we went that way. The next game was away again at Southampton. Our fans turned up and they absolutely blew whatever roof there was left off before the game. They wanted us to know that they weren't going to abandon their team. The rehabilitation had begun.
Nelson Mandela woke up to freedom this morning in the spectacular surroundings of Bishop's Court, Archbishop Desmond Tutu's official residence on the slopes of Table Mountain.
I must confess, I'm unable to describe my emotion. I was completely overwhelmed by the enthusiasm. It's something I did not expect. It was breathtaking. That's all I can say. This star shines so bright, but they're fading after dawn. There is magic
in Kingston Town. The day before the semi-final, we're in a hotel in Solihull. Whoever had the misfortune to book Pavarotti into the hotel at the same time should be berated, obviously. But the great man himself was there, and a football fan that he was. We had to have training the day before. We didn't have anywhere to train. We are Crystal Palace. We are playing in an FA Cup semi-final on the Sunday, and Saturday afternoon we have nowhere to train. We eventually find a school playing field and climb through a hole in a chain link fence. I am talking about a professional football club. Now, if that doesn't breed a unity in the group, nothing will.
Obviously, we got to the semi-final, and then you just know. You just know you cannot win an FA Cup unless, you know, some challenge is put up in front of you. And we drew the best team in the league. That Liverpool team then, 1990, was, you know, it was coming to the end of their time, but it was still the best team. They won the league, and they beat us 9-0. So it's the first time the FA Cup semi-finals were live on the TV. So if you put all that together, everybody sat down at 12 o'clock lunchtime to say, right, here we go, at least eight. It didn't happen. What ensued was probably one of the finest half and extra time of FA Cup football people had witnessed.
Onside, Ian Rush. Strike the post. Liverpool take the lead.
Keeping it tight was fine until I decided to play Ian Rush offside. Geometry not being my strongest point, obviously. But yeah, they took a 1-0 lead. I think at half time, we had been nailed up and buried by every pundit on the planet. And I can understand why, although they hadn't bargained for just us.
Wright's there. O'Reilly's there! And Palace, are they in front? Yes, they are! Thomas. And Bright's in there. And Thomas! Staunton, Gray! Gray, 3-3! Andy Gray for Palace. They're back in it. It's a free kick again, a set play. And keep your eye on number four, Andy Gray, because when all this is over, Robillard comes, doesn't make it. Thomas, Staunton, Gray, 3-3.
We got ourselves stretched to time, and the manager said, the momentum's with you. This is it. You know, you're younger, you're fitter, you want it more. You want it. Said, they've been there before, you've got to seize your opportunity. We get up, we stick together, we look for the set pieces, which is always the plan, to play for the set pieces. And amazingly enough, you know, everybody's tired. When you get tired, you lose concentration, you lose focus.
Thorn flicked it on, and it's gone in! Pardew!
Great free kick from Andy, flicked on by Thorny, and Pars comes in. Kind of unmarked as well, really. Cannot even now, this time, 26 years later, explain the feeling that runs through your body.
Well, the whole build-up was low-key again. Phil Steed didn't overplay it. We went to an Italian restaurant during the week. We stayed at a pretty average hotel. But the one big choice we had was whether we played Ian Wright. He'd gone and had treatment from a woman who said she could cure him. It was a faith healer that Laurie McMenemy had recommended to Steve. I've got the power! We had to make the decision, do we change the Liverpool team, or do we do pretty much the same thing and start without Wrighty? And I think hindsight was great, but it was a really good decision of Steve, because it gave us that impetus to be able to bring Wrighty on with 20 minutes to go.
The Agriculture Minister, John Gummer, today enrolled his daughter, Cordelia, in his campaign to persuade people that eating beef is safe.
I remember I worked on both the semi-final and the final. I managed to go to the replay, unfortunately, but great times, really. And we gave an award to Steve Coppell last night, a Lifetime Achievement Award for the club. And that team inspired me, really, to do what I'm doing now. Trying to bring those days back, and if we can, go beyond it. Ian Wright, you know, just sensational. Solarco, Mark, you know, we're desperate to get a trophy for this club.
When you've watched year after year after year growing up, you sit there and watch it, and you watch the build-up to Wembley, how they got there, all the interviews, and then you finally see people walk out. You always dream, as a player, as a young person, I hope one day I can, you know, have that sensation, that feeling of walking out. And when it happened, I mean, it was just proper hairs on the back of your neck. We went out for the warm-up, we saw the band playing, and we go back in, you get your thoughts together, you get your shin pads on, get everything ready, and then you walk up that tunnel, and you know, the light comes brighter, and obviously all around you, as soon as they see the teams appear, the noise, the level goes so high. That was Crystal Palace's end there. We're walking out there, Sir Alex Ferguson and Steve Coppell leading the teams out, and then the balloons, the colour, the noise. I mean, being there as a fan, you get that, you get those chills and feel that strange feeling that runs through your body. So as a player, it is fantastic. That walk, remember, across the pathway they used to put across the sand, and all the way to the halfway line, you're kind of looking around and you've got to try and take it all in.
Crystal Palace, very much the underdogs. Thorne, O'Reilly's in there, and was it over the line? And it's a goal! Gary O'Reilly and Crystal Palace, the underdogs, have taken the lead.
The great Jonathan Pearce has told me that stat. It is not something I have investigated myself, and I am not going to argue with the great man.
No.
Just to be involved is incredible. Like I said, it's a childhood dream. To have a goal just takes the dream up another notch. To have that sort of stat next to your name, well, yeah, that's a really nice thing. And 26 years later and it's still there, well, maybe someone will do something about it this year. Who knows?
Robson! Goal! Brian Robson equalises for Manchester United. Webb. A ricochet. Hughes! 2-1 to Manchester United. Now here's Wright, his first chance to show what he can do. He's through, it's right. Oh, what an impact by the substitute. It's 2-2. Just 3 minutes after Ian Wright had come on. And
What a lovely individual goal.
Sulaco's playing wide on the left in Barber's old position. Phelan is challenging him.
Fantastic occasion, because we went 2-1 down and Wrighty came on, if you remember, he had the broken leg, turned Pally in the area and put it in the bottom corner, and then Sulaco, fantastic cross, and he came flying in at the far post and we went 3-2 up, and unfortunately 7 minutes to go, Mark Hughes equalised, which they reminded him about when we played Stoke, Wrighty and Sulaco were moaning at him. I don't know what they expected him to do. But...
fabulous day, and the replay didn't live up to that game, but I think Manchester United had learnt their lesson by then. And again, you know, you look back at that team, that the players that they had, but it was still a magnificent performance.
And the referee has blown, and the FA Cup final of 1990 ends in a draw.
And then after that, as a manager, I went on to managing three semi-finals. And I lost all three semi-finals. So for me, personally, I look back at that final as being my only chance to have ever got there. And I was quite, as I say, from sort of quite humble beginnings of being manager of Dulwich Hamlet, which I'm very proud of. It was, to find I was on the bench at Wembley with Steve Coppell, Alex Ferguson was, you know, it wasn't humbling. It was just something I never thought would ever happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're leaving Downing Street for the last time after 11 and a half wonderful years, and we're very happy...
Well, to know what the FA Cup means to every fan, to every player, to every club, you create history. And for those boys to go out there and win and walk around the pitch with a trophy, I think it put us on the map and it gained us 10,000 fans last time we were there. So if it could do the same thing this time, if we win it, I think young players in the area want to come to the club. The club has a better standing overseas and we can move forward. You know, the club will have its first major trophy. These players can put themselves in the history books and it'll be there forever. You know, they'll have a 10-year anniversary, a 5-year anniversary, a 25-year. It'll be fantastic for everybody.
Wembley is for people of my age, it's just such a special day. And we're very privileged to be in it, you know, twice in 110, 111 years. So, of course, that team in 91 finished third in the old First Division. Fantastic team. It was a kind of almost Leicester-esque feat in those days. Yeah, definitely inspired me. Not just a good team, but a fantastically exciting team. And I think we've tried to recreate that. You know, certainly when I came in, that's what I wanted to try and do. Fast wingers, exciting play. That's what we like in South London. Yeah, massively important to me, that team. And probably I wouldn't be sitting here now if it wasn't for Ian Wright and Mark Bright and Alan and the rest of them.
Slight styles of play, the fact that they were tenuous about their Premier League existence towards the end of the season, all of those little echoes of 26 years ago, and also the sense of character within the team, the wide men, the flair that Coppell brought to our vintage. Alan Pardew has a similar trend and theme.
There's so many parallels to this cup run. To the last one, obviously we're playing the same team in the final. You know, the manager's probably under a little bit of pressure, he would admit. So we just want a different outcome. We like all those parallels except the one where we don't win.
If Man United win, there's an exclamation mark on what has been a much written about season, shall we say. If Crystal Palace win, Phil, this is unbelievable. This is the moment in their history. It's a defining moment. I hope the players at Palace can take a moment just to understand what they could achieve and hopefully go one step further than we did. All our sons and daughters already know how that feels.